From the land of Grand Theatre Varsity in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the very first day of November 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Gary Schnitke from U of I Extension, agricultural economist here on campus, will be along to talk about crop insurance and potential payments, not only in the state of Illinois, but across the Corn Belt. Quick hint, not likely in Illinois. And then we'll also take up the weather forecast. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He says it's going to stay warm for a couple of weeks and then it'll get cold. I asked him a lot more about the weather forecast, trying to get an idea of when you might be able to run those anhydrous tanks right here across the state of Illinois and in the upper Midwest safely on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon, rather Tuesday afternoon. We are now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It was an ugly day in Chicago. What happened with the soybeans?
Well, I think basically along the way when we tried that 10-20 mark and got to 10-18 the other day, and it seemed like they couldn't push through to the high side, and the traders on the other side, some of the algorithm people, were pushing down, and they took the funds, and when they couldn't push it up, they did push them down. And when we broke through support levels, why we run a lot of stops here today and went on down. I do think that, you know, we are going to be looking at some support down back probably about the 885 level basis. The January beans should come in some pretty strong support.
What are you suggesting to producers, if anything, at this point? And what have you been suggesting all along? Most have been thinking you should market soybeans across the scale, but of course, a lot of them are already out of the field at this time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically we're done with bean harvest in most cases. In our area, we've been looking or waiting for a little bit of a break for some of the guys that did want to replace some, and we got to wait and see if this follows through tomorrow if we do find some good support before we become buyers. We didn't want to pay over $10 for these beans to replace, and we're going to just let them stand as sales. So I think that's it, but basically, you know, we've been in a trading range. We went to the top end of it there. We're going to come back down and see if support holds.
And looking forward, what are your expectations?
Well, you know, what came across the news wires today was, well, basically we're proceeding well in South America, no problems down there. And we've got a lot of bushels here, and that we're going to continue to, until we see a weather problem, it's going to be hard to rally this market. You know, FC Stone is supposed to be out later this afternoon with their figures for production. They were sort of on the high end of things last time, and we don't look for them to be on the shy side this time either. So I think we're going to see a big production number, like maybe a 52 or 52.5 out of FC Stone later this afternoon.
How about for corn?
The corn, basically, it was sort of drug along with the beans. When beans broke down, the corn pulled back a little bit too, and then it broke through its support there at 350, went down. It's found some pretty good support in the 47-48 range, and I think that, you know, 42 was the bottom of the trading range that we've seen as of late, so I think we'll see some more buying down in that 45 to 42 range here by the guys that are wanting to replace some of the stuff that they sold at harvest.
What typically would happen between now and the end of the year, and do you think it will vary very much from that schedule?
Well, the first 2 weeks of November are generally sort of a downward or bearish sort of time period when we get into here as we're finished up harvest and trying to move on. We'll see a little bit of a rise either on into Thanksgiving or on into Christmas. Generally, the bulls and the bears, one of them gets to have Christmas and one of them gets to have the feast at Thanksgiving. So it's looking here like maybe the bears are going to have turkey on Thanksgiving, the bulls might have it on Christmas.
So your thought process is be patient, I suppose, for most of your producers.
I think being patient here and, you know, some of the guys who are waiting for a setback is to possibly buy or replace some of the stuff that they marketed, harvested. Patience is going to pay for itself pretty well.
What are we hearing out of South America as it relates to their progress for planting soybeans and corn in Argentina and Brazil?
Well, You know, one of the things that was sort of funny is one of the newswires we're reading today said they were a little scared that it was progressing too fast and too easy, and that maybe all the beans become ripe the same time we're ready for harvest, and they might not be able to harvest them that fast. So planting's going along real well down there. We've had some areas that are wet, but they're supposed to dry off going into next week, and it just looks like the conditions couldn't be a whole lot better than what they've been so far for South America.
So something to make note of, that an infrastructure problem. Generally, they don't have storage or the infrastructure to move beans very quickly. And if they're all pushed at planting at the same time, that might cause a problem, I suppose, especially in Brazil.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things we saw at the end, there was the explosion in the Alabama pipeline. That's raised gas on the East Coast, but sure isn't affecting much here in the Midwest for right now. And that's a short-term problem, but it can get into things. The other thing was the OPEC nations don't seem to be quite coming together with their reducing production of different countries. Everybody thinks they should be exempt over there. So that's why we went back under $50 on the crude. And we're seeing that Goldman is predicting low 40s by the year end.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, let's start with the Farm Bill. The plight of farmers in drought-ravaged New England, that's right, New England, is bolstering calls for revised disaster relief provisions in the next Farm Bill. The U.S. Drought Monitor says that a quarter of the region is suffering severe drought or worse. The dry spell comes after heavy snow and flooding in the region last winter. Part of the problems facing New England farmers is the slow adoption rates for some new Farm Bill programs designed to help the smaller, more diversified farms that are so common in that particular region, says New England Farmers Union President Roger Noonan. He says very few farmers have signed up for the Whole Farm Revenue Protection Program, which is designed for diversified farms, and or the Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program, which Noonan says is due in part to skepticism in the Northeast about crop insurance, little awareness for farmers that the program exists, and heavy reporting requirements. While USDA in recent years has made strides in supporting smaller farms, he says it's really the safety net where we find some holes. The net is a little bit wider than we'd like to see it. On that note, farmers can now enroll in Farm Bill Safety Net programs for 2017. The enrollment period started today and will continue until next August. The administrator of the Farm Service Agency says producers on farms with base acres under the Agriculture Risk Coverage or Price Loss Coverage programs can enroll. The FSA issued more than $7 billion worth of payments this year for the 2015 crop to assist farmers who suffered price and revenue losses. If a farm is not enrolled during the 2017 enrollment period, the producers on that farm will not be eligible for financial assistance from the ARC or PLC programs for the 2017 crop should crop prices or farm revenues fall below historical prices or the revenue benchmarks. Producers who made their elections in 2015 must still enroll during the 2017 enrollment period. Farmers can enroll in the programs by contacting their local FSA office. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Gary, you've written an article about crop insurance. This one always comes out on the first day of November because October is a crop insurance setting month. It's the harvest price month. What did you find?
Yep. So harvest prices are determined for crop insurance, corn and soybeans in the Midwest. The harvest price for corn is $3.49 and the harvest price for soybeans is $9.75. The $3.49 corn price is 10% lower than the $3.86 projected price, and the soybean $9.75 harvest price is 10% higher. So we have a higher harvest price this year for soybeans than a projected price.
And what does this all mean?
So in Illinois, given that we've had very good yields across much of the state, what's likely to be the case is we have very low crop insurance payments this year. If we could look at sort of analogous years, 2016 corn-wise looks a lot like 2014. That year, our loss ratio in this state was 0.44, which means that for every premium that was paid, there was 44 cents of payment. This year, we would expect less than that, so something well below 0.44, because our harvest price did not fall as much this year. For soybeans, the sort of the analogous year is last year. We are having exceptionally high yields this year, and we have a harvest price above the projected price, so we have to have at least a yield shortfall to, if we bought an 85% coverage level, we have to have a 15% yield shortfall this year, and it doesn't appear like many people are having that. So again, soybean payments will be low. Overall, 2016 will be a low insurance payment year in Illinois.
Did you take a broader look across the whole of the Corn Belt to see what things look like?
So overall, Illinois will likely be one of the lower insurance payment states because we have some of the higher yields. But overall, Western Corn Belt should be pretty low overall. Indiana and Ohio could have higher payments because they had worse yields than did the rest of the Corn Belt. But even there, it should be not 2012 or anything like that, but something above one may happen in those two states.
Can you go through a little background on crop insurance, for instance? What's the subsidy like on it for the premiums and how it gets paid for and what the actuarial tables look like, how often it's supposed to pay out?
So RMA, when it set its premium, its target loss ratio is a 1, which means that over time payments should equal premium, or we should have a loss ratio equal to 1. This year we won't, but that sort of makes up for the 2012 year when we had a 6.5 loss ratio on corn. So we have a lot of low years and then a high year every now and then. The subsidy, one of the subsidies is on the premiums that get paid. So if we have a total premium that's $1, premium per acre that's $1, a farmer would pay something like 50 cents on it. Then those subsidies range by coverage level, by type of product, but it's right at 50% of the premium is subsidized by the federal government.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him each and every Tuesday on the Farm Doc Daily website. Harry Cooney from Growmark in Bloomington now joins us to take a look at the agricultural energies. An explosion at a Colonial Pipeline in Alabama has cut gasoline supplies. Can you tell me a bit about that and the problems it might create?
One report this morning suggested that it might not be fixed for a month. Then later around midday, another report suggested that it could be fixed within a week now. So if it's fixed within the week, it causes some tightness in the northeast U.S., East Coast. But overall, we get through it probably in pretty good shape. If it goes on a month, okay, then we have more supply disruptions because this is more of a major pipeline. And then it causes more disruptions. My guess is it probably will be fixed sooner rather than later. It's an important enough line. They'll get a lot of resources put to it and get things back up and running just as soon as they can.
In recent terms, the price of crude oil has bumped up and above $50, but it's traded down now to $46, at least in the lead option December contract. What can you tell me about the marketplace?
Well, exactly right. You picked it right on it. I mean, I think we peaked out about the third week. I think it was around the 15th or the 18th or 19th of October. Some seasonal studies suggest that you peak out in mid-fall. Some of them even suggested in mid-October. So, so far the seasonal price studies seem to be working well, even though each year, they're not exactly like the seasonal suggests. And a lot of people will say that, well, if it doesn't work exactly, then it's just not working. And then that's just not true. Overall, the seasonals tend to do pretty good. They're just not on the same exact path every year. So the seasonal did peak out in October so far, and now we're in a little bit of a sell-off here. And as we begin the month of November, we're down here around $47 a barrel in crude oil, so back well under $50.
And if I remember correctly, there is a seasonal that you like to have producers or somebody take advantage of.
Well, that's exactly right. The seasonal tends to weaken until sometime in the Thanksgiving, the Valentine's Day time period. Again, doesn't work that way every year the same way, but that's the time when you want to start getting your tanks filled up for next year and start doing some forward contracting for next year if that's what you do.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, and joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the first day of November, just 21 days until the Farm Assets Conference. Time now to get your ticket, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Tickets are just $30 for the day-long event in Normal, Illinois, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. Buy your tickets right now. On the line with us to take a look at what's been happening with the weather forecast, not only here but across the planet, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's start here in the Midwest. What a warm summer day it is in my part of the world.
Well, I tell you, from the Rockies east through the Midwest, Great Lakes, all the way to the East Coast, it has been, especially over the last 3 weeks, much warmer than normal. It's going to end up being a very warm October for most of the nation. Only the Pacific Northwest, the far northern Rockies, and the far central and northern areas of California have seen cooler than normal conditions in October, and also pretty darn dry as well. And it appears as though, at least for the start of November, the pattern is going to hold for a little bit longer. So we are not anticipating any colder, significantly wet weather, at least on a widespread basis, for a bit longer.
Okay, so this is unusual, but farmers right now would be rooting for much cooler weather. They'd like the soil temperatures to drop below 50 degrees so they can get some fall anhydrous applied safely. Do we see a time in the near future when this might begin to happen?
Well, we will start to see some cooler weather come here at the end of the week and over the weekend, but what is lacking is a buildup of cold air, at least in the central and western Canada, the type of cold air that can really drop our temperatures like we can see in November. By Friday in the weekend, most of the Corn Belt will cool off only to warm up again. We are probably not looking until after the, let's say, the 10th to the 15th, somewhere in that time frame of the month. I do see it colder. I do see it getting wetter. And after that, I think the second half of November, right into December, will be much colder, much more winter-like. So it's probably another 10 days or so before we're going to start to see any significant cooling.
Okay, so in that second half, and I know it's a long ways out, but I want to explore this just a bit more because it will make a difference. Colder is fine, but precipitation at that point, unless they need a little to get things to open up in the soils, would not be the best. So are we talking about colder temperatures and normal kinds of conditions?
Well, it is nearly impossible to go from warm to cold without some precipitation. You're going to get some. So there is going to be some precipitation ahead of the colder weather before it comes in, and then cooler, drier air will settle in behind it. So with the colder temperatures, there's going to be some rain. Now, will it be a lot? Too early to say, but you can't go this time of year warm to cold without expecting to get a little wet.
All right, so the cold, a little precipitation, actually probably pretty welcome. Soils have gotten pretty dry. Thanks so much. We appreciate all the work you do for us each and every week.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website, willag.org, or farmassetsconference.com. Pick up your tickets today. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.